Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Well, good morning. What was your name again? I'm sorry. Krista. Krista comes up to me and says, "You want me to introduce you?" Or what? I said, "You don't even know what to say about me, do you?" She said, "No." I said, "I'll take care of it. It's all good." Yeah, I know who I am, right? For those of you that don't know me, which is probably most of you, I was here with my wife in March. My name is Jamie, pastor of church in London, Ontario, which is just east of you by many, many kilometers. And it is my absolute joy and honor to be here. Words can't express how much I love your pastors. We've rolled with each other for at least 15 years. I think it was 2005 when we first met in a dingy old apartment over top a rehab center with, humble beginnings. Say humble beginnings. Say never doubt God. Yeah, see, if you only knew, every one of us in this house has a story. You know, we all have a beginning. We all have that small portion of our lives that we thought that was meaningless. We thought that was there was no time of teaching. There was nothing happening in those seasons. But you realize when you get to the, middle and you get to the meaty part of your story, how important those beginnings were, right? And so often, I was taught, young, never to judge a book by its cover. Did I listen? No. I was one of the most judgmental people before the Lord came in and rescued me from myself. But we never want to judge somebody's story because, it's not done being narrated, and as I picture God narrating my life, just kind of speaking over it and speaking through it. I picture him with the voice of Morgan Freeman. Anybody else? Yeah, come on. There's no greater narrator in the world than Morgan Freeman, except God himself. But, if God had a voice, I believe that when he called out to Abraham, it was the voice of Morgan Freeman. But that's just me. I mean, whatever. You guys deal with your own stuff, and I'll deal with mine. And it's good to know that we're tracking. We're just tracking correctly today. Any hunters in the room? Some of us, put up your hand. Like, come on, let's own this. Yeah. When you go out, you don't just go out and take your gun and hope something comes by. You've spent months tracking, and it's the same in the kingdom. We track with God, and God tracks with us, and we cannot neglect the signs. We cannot neglect the unction. We cannot neglect the things that he sets before us to help us in guidance. We every single day, we all wish that God would speak to us audibly, but I don't know, maybe two or three of us in this room have ever heard the audible voice of God. And we just have to learn as sons and daughters to track with him, to watch for him, to see where he is, to have our ear to the ground, to have a heart open to him, to be led. And, I say all that to say this, is that I don't, as a preacher, you have sermons that you will take with you for your life. They're a part of your DNA, and you will minister in different seasons these same sermons that you minister before. And then there are sermons that you write for situational. You write them for, times and places. And in our home, we've been in this place between Resurrection Sunday and next weekend being Pentecost Sunday. We've just been hanging out in this place where Jesus was. It says that after he was resurrected and he came back and he revealed himself to the disciples, he came to them from time to time. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, in New Living Translation, says, and talking to them things of the kingdom. And we've just been hanging out in this place, and you don't know, you don't have in detail the understanding of what he talked about. You just knew that he was talking to them about the kingdom. And the thing that I know about Jesus is in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Therefore, he walked as the kingdom on earth. When he said the kingdom of God is at hand, he was meaning just that the kingdom of God is here. You are witnessing everything. This is God's reign. This is God's rule. This is what it means to be a part of the kingdom, to step under God's rulership and to live in his domain so that he can shower you with whatever he needs to shower you with. He can take from you whatever he needs to take, and he can set inside of you whatever he needs to. You are fully open to the movings of God. But he would talk to them from time to time about the kingdom of God. And one thing that we've hung out on in our church is kingdom and character. Because one thing that I knew and know about Jesus is that he taught more on character than he ever did on miracles. He spoke to the things that were in man's heart more than he taught them how to position themselves for a miracle. And in the church today, we've reverted back to talking about miracles and positioning yourselves for blessing. That's was never the only position that we need to be in for God's blessing is under his covering. And I say that we've been tracking right today is because I know that 2 weeks ago, a message that I preached at home, the Lord spoke to me last week. He said, I want you to bring that on the second to the summit. And it's simply this, and it's as easy as this, is faith and trust. Faith and trust. You see, when Jesus spoke to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, he said, listen, this season is not for you to understand, but what you need to know is this, is there's coming a power that will rest upon your life that will transform you to become my greatest witnesses, and you will bear the truth of my name in all of the regions all over the world. That's the JPV. That's the Jamie Patton version. But he said it in such a way that he just fully trusted Holy Spirit that he knew what he was doing. That Holy Spirit, as I set you upon each and every one of these, they will know exactly what to do. He's talking to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Turn with me to John chapter 5. The subtitle to this message today is Just Go. Say it with me, Just Go. Just Go. Now, being a 42-year-old man, for some reason, I now need glasses to read. It's all right. You know, my style says 19, but my glasses say 82. Come on, somebody. I wear this kind of stuff in the church because we have a lot of young people, and they walk in and say, oh, Pastor, you look like your 19-year-old self. And I said, you dang right I do. I guess I'm the only one who likes that. Anyway. And when we talk about faith, and as your worship team leads you into this place of faith, it's not a faith that just says, I believe. It's a faith that shows God you believe. You know, a lot of us in this house may struggle with depression and anxiety. And as Pastor Nikki declares, you know, depression has to flee because the presence of God is here. Anxiety has to flee because the presence of God is here. You're sitting in the place and you're thinking, you know what? I want that so bad. But I don't know how to walk out from underneath its power. I believe today there's going to come to your life a great healing. And you will be set free from things that you've battled with for years. How do I know? Because we're about to preach some truth today. John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. I'm reading out a New Living Translation, and it says this. Afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men laying there had been sick for 38 years. Say 38 years. How many of you know that 38 years is a long time? He'd been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "Well, I can't, sir," the man replied. "For I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Now Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. We don't need to read any further because we've got all the content that we need today. Jesus happens to be coming through. And from whatever everybody else believes, he wants to go because of one of the holy days. But he has an agenda in mind. He has foreseen this man who has been ill and meets him in a place that he is. Some of you believe that you have to position yourself in a place so that Jesus will come and meet you. I want to let you know today that Jesus will meet you where you are. He will meet you in the depth of your depression. He will meet you in the depth of your anxiety. He will meet you in the depth of your financial issue or your marriage problems. He will meet you in the midst of your problem that you're having with your teenage son or daughter that just won't listen to you anymore. He will meet you in a place of your waywardness. All you have to do is be ready to hear and be ready to receive. Jesus knew that this man had been ill for a long time, and he asked him a simple question. You want to get better? Well, in our minds, we think, well, of course he would. A man who had been lame for 38 years, we don't know if he was older than 38. We don't know if he was lame from birth. We just know that for 38 years, he lay on a mat, unable to move himself. The first question I ask myself as he reiterates his issue is that nobody's able to throw me in the water when it bubbles up. Well, why wouldn't his friends move him closer? But that's me. That's the practical side of me. But it doesn't matter for this account. Jesus asked him a simple question. Listen, Jesus also said that unless you have faith as a child, not childish faith, childlike faith. Let me talk to you quickly about childlike faith. I'm going to give you 5 points. I'm going to give you five examples, 5 characteristics of childlike faith. If you're taking notes, write quickly because I'm moving. A child will ask honest questions. Jesus, why weren't we able to cast out this demonic power? A child will ask honest questions. A child, number two, will also ask with vulnerability. Being vulnerable means you're wide open to receive whatever it is that's coming your way. A child will ask openly and honestly. Openly and honestly. A child doesn't know what's best, but trusts his parents. A child trusts and finds full satisfaction with his parents. Jesus asked this man, do you want to get better? Meaning, do you want to get up from the position that you are and move out? Do you want to change your vantage point? What is it that you want? And listen what he says. Well, I can't, sir. You know what that is? That's fear. That's familiarity. That's believing that Jesus is well able to do it for everybody else, but not you. See, your fear will magnify the issue. Where faith will magnify the Father, therefore diminishing the power of your issue. See, we're not going to sit here today and declare before you that there are no issues. We know full well that there are issues, but we refuse to give power to them. See, I'm an absolute 100% realist. I know what it is. I know when my body is sore. And that, you know, I almost put my back out the other day trying to get out of bed. See, it's aw. No, not aw. It's like old. Old. See, all those days of abusing my body when I was young, I'm paying for now. And the old and those old guy noises that my dad used to make that I would make fun of him for, I'm making them myself. Oh gosh, you know, it's oh gosh, oh yeah, my back almost gave out, my elbow's sore, my neck sore. Oh my goodness. See, but the realist says, you know what? I've got pain in my body. You know those hypersensitive, you know, faith addicts that say, you know, I'm not sick, when nose is running and their eyes are leaking and they're coughing all over you. I'm not sick in Jesus' name. No, you are sick and you need Jesus to heal you. Reality says this is what it is. But truth, church, truth says, what's God got to say about it? See, this man, there was no doubt in anybody's mind that this man had been lame. This man had been laying in this position for 38 years. To go up to him and say, listen, do you want to be made well? Oh, I'm well in Jesus' name. You've been there for 38 years. You're not well. And even if you think you are, and listen, I'm okay with you saying, you know what? I believe Jesus for healing, but I'm just going to rest where I am and I'm going to trust him with this thing riddling my body. I'm okay with that. I'm okay believing that my healing's coming and that I'm going to stay here until I receive it. I'm okay with that. But for you to deny the fact that you are where you are and Jesus has the ability to get you out of it, you're crazy. Do you want to be made? Well, I can't. I can't because fear says that I've been here all of my life. I've been here for 38 years. I don't know any other way. I don't know what it is that you're trying to do here. And I don't know if I could ever get out of it. Fear magnifies the issue where faith itself will magnify the Father, therefore diminishing the power of the thing that's ailing you, the thing that's holding you back. He was lame for 38 years, and Jesus looked at him and said, just pick up your mat and walk. He was lame for 38 years, then he wasn't. And you can't explain to me with rational thought and your carnal mind how that happened, except by faith, coupled with the power of Christ. You might have spent all of your life battling with an issue. It might be depression. It might be anxiety. We don't know what it is because every one of us in this house has a story. But what I'm telling you today is you don't have to walk in its power any longer. Because even you declaring through worship today and through faith right now, saying, Jesus, I know that you're well able to do what it is to get me out of where I am. You've already won. You have already won. This man didn't even believe that Jesus could do the things that he said he was going to do. Do you want to be made well? Well, I don't know about you. But if I know anything about the Bible, I know that the fame of Jesus had been spreading for months and even a year to this point. So there's no way that these men and these women who were lying sick hadn't even heard a little bit about what was going on. Jesus shows up on the end of this man's mat and asks him a question. Do you want to change your vantage point? Do you want to see what I've been seeing? Just pick up your mat and walk. See, faith is seeing something you've never seen before. Faith is seeing something you've never seen before. There might be things God's asking you to do, and you can't even put a rational thought to it. You can't even comprehend what it would look like for you. Well, I don't know what it looks like to walk free. I don't know what it looks like to walk free of this thing. I don't know what it looks like to walk in the nations. I don't know what it looks like to walk financially stable. I don't know what it looks like to have a good marriage. I don't know what it looks like because I've not been there yet. Faith says, I've not seen it, but that doesn't mean God can't do it. Oh, for a second there, I thought I was at the 9 o'clock service. But the reward of this faith is stewarding that thing that you saw. Put yourself in this man's shoes for a minute. Well, probably didn't have shoes because he never needed them, but he's about to go shopping for some new kicks. Come on. But put yourself in this man's position, literally, for all of his life. Everything that he saw was the ankles of other men walking by. Jesus shows up on scene and he asks him a question. Do you want to be made better? Do you want to change how your life looks? Well, I can't because I don't know what that means. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it would be like to walk. I've never even walked before. How would I learn? Faith is seeing something that you've never seen before. Yet the reward of this faith is actually stewarding the thing that you saw. Now this man has an opportunity to change everything about himself because he decided to listen to what it is and what it was that Jesus asked him, that Jesus commanded him. What if it was as simple as, hey, listen, I just want you to lift your hands in a mode of surrender. I want you just to step out from where you are. I want you just to tell me the things that are in your heart. Do you know that he knows what's hidden in the depths of your heart? But do you also know that he likes to hear it every once in a while? Yeah, I love my wife. I have the greatest marriage in the world. Fellas, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. We'll argue it all day long, but it's all good. Because you can have the best marriage. Anyway, it's not that type of session. And my wife knows that I love her. She knows that I love her. I've stayed faithful for over 20 years. You know, I've shown her with my hard work. She knows. But every once in a while, she likes to hear it. Yeah. Fellas. She likes to hear you verbalize, I love you. My life is greater with you in it. You know, things like that. Sometimes to reiterate something back to God is very pleasing to his heart. Lord, I want to win nations for you. Lord, I want to worship open and publicly. I want to worship you. I want to preach all over the world your name. I want to do these things. Well, I know that you want to do them because I hit them there. I just wanted to hear you say it. Pick up your mat and walk. You know, sometimes even when it doesn't make sense, you just have to do what needs to be done. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. I'll tell you, if I've told you this story, I apologize. If you have heard it, just bear with me. If you haven't, then enjoy it. But 18 years ago, I was still young in the faith. I was saved when I was 21. The Lord set the first great call in our hearts when not long after that, we were going to move from where we were just 3 hours north to central Ontario for what I understood was a job. I understood it was a manufacturing job. I was going to be on the road as a salesman. It's just, you know, it was a nice change of life. It was a great opportunity. It was a stepping stone for what I now see was, you know, coming throughout the years. And I remember my wife and I, we just blew up because she thought one way, I thought the other. Said, baby, let's just go. Let's just do it. And she's like, well, what about our family? And what about our friends? And everything that we know is here. And I said, that's fine. I mean, it's not like we're moving to the other side of the world. It's 3 hours. And I mean, literally, we got heated and it blew up. She left the house to go for a drive. And I had this uncanny feeling in my heart that this was going to happen. We just needed to come into agreement on it. So I went and I literally sat on my couch. And my son was very young at the time. He had this little basketball. And I remember sitting on the couch. I have no idea where the children were at this point. I should probably figure that out. But anyways, and I'm kicking around this ball with my feet. And I said to the Lord, if I can throw this ball into that vase, then we're going. And it's just simple. I was still very young and very immature, but I would love to have those moments back because it would make life so easy. And the ball was this big, and the vase, the opening to the vase was this big. And it was a really bouncy ball, so the odds of it going in were minimal. And I didn't line up the shot. Actually, no, I literally sat back, and I'm like, that's stupid. That's exactly what I said. And he said, no, do it. Sometimes you have to do things that just have to be done, even when they don't make sense. So I took that ball, and I just threw it. Literally just threw it. I didn't sit up. I didn't step up. I just threw it. And it went across the room, and it hit the rim of the vase. And it hit the wall, and it hit the stereo, and it went right in the middle of that vase. And I sat back. I thought, Little did I know that my wife was on the same journey I was. She had stopped at her grandmother's place. They prayed together. She was trying to figure things out, and I didn't know where she was, and I had to get up early in the morning, so I went to bed. And I woke up the next morning, went to work, just went through the same routine. And I called her midday. I said, baby, listen, we have to give these people an answer. She goes, oh, we're going. I was like, what in the world? I said, anyways, God took her and showed her these signs, but the final sign was this. She came home and she saw this Bible that was sitting on our desk. And normally I would buy Bibles for people and just give them out. And if they didn't have one, that's what we did. And she thought that I had signed this Bible to somebody. And, you know, so she picked it up to see who it was for. And she realized that it was mine. And it was one of those Bibles that highlighted itself, the main verses in there. And when she took the Bible, she looked at it and saw nothing in it and threw it back down on the desk. And when it opened up to Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. You know, these plans are for good, not for evil, to give you a hope and an expected end. And that was her deal. You know, even when it doesn't make sense, you just have to do what needs to be done and let God finish the work. We were at the church one night, and my pre-son-in-law, you know, it was the winter, and he wasn't my son-in-law at the point, but he had had my... You know, he was dating my daughter, and he runs back into the church, and there's a few of us guys left there, and he says, hey, listen, I have a flat tire. And I looked at him straight in the eyes. I said, well, change it. You know? He says, well, I don't know how to change a tire. I've never changed a tire before. I said, you have got to be kidding. And you think that you're going to marry my daughter one day? And you have never changed a tire in your life. And I said, and I looked at the other boys in the room. I'm like, have you changed a tire? No. Have you changed a tire? No. Let's go. So we go out to where his car is parked. And I'm like, where's your jack? You know, where are all these instruments that I need to change this tire? And I find the jack, and I get it underneath the car, and I jack it up, and I take the wheel off, and where's your spare? And I'm like, I'm furious. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Are you serious right now? You've never done. I said, boys, watch and learn. Take the tire off, throw it in the trunk, take the spare, put it on, tighten it up, drop the car, throw the jack in the back. I shut the trunk, and I said, get out of here, you know. Get out of here. I go home, look at my wife. She's sitting on the couch. I said to her, hey, Evan had a flat tire tonight. He didn't know how to change his tire. So-and-so was there, and so-and-so was there. They didn't know how to change a tire either, so I changed it for them. Let them all learn. She goes, do you know how to change a tire? I said, no, I just learned tonight. True story. Listen. Do not ruin it for the 11 o'clock. But listen to me. Listen to me, because we have overblown faith. Okay? We have overblown faith. We have thought it to be so extreme that we have to have faith to have faith. You know, this is where we are. But do you know our God is so simple? He's so complex. I mean, he's so complex, but he makes it so simple for us. And I tell you that story to show you some key things. Is that God will take you through a step by step to get you to where you need to be. And I knew, common sense says that tire has to come off for this tire to go on. And for me to even get access to these tires, I need to lift the car up. And when I get the jack out of the car, I set it underneath and I can line up with the frame of this car so that I can bring it up to a great level to get the tire off and the tire on. You understand what I'm saying? I'm driving in your city yesterday, and I mean, this province is crazy. I don't understand the road. I'm trying to drive with one eye to make sure that I'm in the right lane, because you've got lanes coming out of everywhere. You've got turning lanes that are like have boulevards, you know. I mean, just like, where am I going? I don't even know. But if you follow the signs, you'll be okay. If you follow the signs, you're okay. If you just take your time, follow the signs, you'll be okay. Listen, Abraham received a promise from God of a son. And then in Genesis 22, and in the midst of this son, and housed in the midst of this boy, was a promise for generations to come. And then in Genesis 22, the Bible says this, that the Lord tested Abraham. You know what that word means? He tried Abraham. Say, give me back your son. Do you know what Abraham did? He obeyed. I don't understand. I don't get it. It doesn't make any rational sense. But I'm going to trust in God's ability to do what he needs to do to get this done. And I'm going to use my common sense, the common sense that says, listen, whatever it looks like, if God's speaking it, then it's going to be okay. Whatever is going to turn out will turn out fine if God's speaking it. And we need to understand this. This is a common understanding that we need to have about God, is that he is never through trying your faith. At any stage of your life, he will constantly come in and try you. Because what has not been tried cannot be trusted. If you knew what engineers went through when they're building dams, or when they're constructing airplanes, or when they're even building cars, they build cars just to run them into walls. Just so they make sure that the safety is optimal for the passengers. God will constantly come in and try your faith so that he knows when he asks you to do something, you can be trusted. Amen? Hebrews 11:6 is simple. Without faith, it is impossible. Say that with me. It is impossible to please God. If I can have some accompaniment. Do you like prefer like a wink and a gun, or how do you want this done? Look at. Thank you so much for hosting me, by the way. Thank you for not greeting me and just going to bed and watching Netflix, okay? At least your husband is a good host. I am just playing. I am just playing. It was wonderful. You know, a lot of us, we have lived in this place where we have just rolled out a mat and we have stayed because it's easier here. You know, it's easier here. You see, the Pool of Bethesda was beautiful. Now, take away all the sick people. You had a great pool. You had covered porches where you could just lay out. How many of you are sun babies? You just love to be outside in the summer. I mean, this is your place. And it was comfortable there. until Jesus showed up on scene and disrupted the entire plan and spoke to the things that were hidden in the midst of this man's heart. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be better? Do you want to be set free from these things? Do you want to see the fullness of what I have for you? And we're all in different places. Not every one of us is suffering from depression. Not every one of us is suffering from anxiety. Not every one of us is suffering with financial issues. Not every one of us is suffering with a horrible marriage. Some of us are waiting to see the fullness of God. Well, how come Des and Tracy get to go to Brazil and they get to see these things? How come they are seeing the fullness of God? Just wait. Because if God's doing it in them, it means that he's still doing. It means he's not finished. And I don't listen to a lot of T.D. Jakes. But one thing he said one time was this. He said, listen, you get all disgruntled when your neighbor gets blessed. But if I was coming down the aisle handing out $100 bills, every single one of you would be eager to receive. And if God is blessing somebody, that means that God is still doing. So do you want to get better? Well, I can't. What if you just reverted your mindset to say, you know what? He can. He can. He is able. He's not done doing what he wanted to do. And if I'm still unsatisfied with what he's doing, that means he's still doing. I'm never done asking God to fill me. Asking God to change my heart. Asking God to renew my mind. Asking God to allow me to see what he is seeing and feeling what he is feeling and loving the way that he's loving. That man could have laid there for another 38 years. But faith caused him to get out from where he was and get into what Jesus was doing. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. There's a different place in this sermon for each and every one of us. And one thing that I can't tell you unless the Lord reveals it to me is what that is. But you know. And even if you don't know, God knows. And if God knows, that means it's already in the midst of your heart. It's just not revealed to you yet. Some of you, if you're just eager to get to nations. Some of you, you're eager to finish your schooling. So it doesn't matter what it is today. All that matters is God is able to lead you through. And by faith, we will allow him to. So I'm going to simply ask you to do this. I'm going to just simply ask you to raise your hands. And just begin to press into God. We're going to take a few moments here and just press into God. Just ask him. Lord, I want to get up off this mat. Lord, I want to receive my healing. I want to walk in that fullness. I want to step into nations. Come on, church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we know that you're able. Lord, with you, there is nothing that remains impossible. You are the God of all possibility. So, Lord, come and do it in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We don't have to wait to see the fulfillment of what it is, Lord. We know that you're able. So, Lord, we'll thank you in faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Listen, some of you, I said earlier, some of you, the simple act of faith is you just kind of getting your hands unstuck from your side. You know, a lot of us, when I was first saved, I always wondered, why do they lift their hands? Then I realized as I began to mature and I wanted more that when I go from here to here, I'm simply saying to God, I have no ulterior motives. I have no agenda of my own. I'm fully surrendered to your will and your way. And this could be your place of faith. But one thing that I do know that the Lord is now speaking to my heart is some of you in here tonight or today, the threshold of your breakthrough is at this altar. That you've not been here before. You've witnessed people come in and leave change, but you thought, there's no way that I'm going to throw myself out in front of everybody. If they think that I'm going to go up there and let them see where I am, they're crazy. But some of you in here today, this is where your breakthrough is. And if you know that's you and the Lord's tugging on your heart, you need to get to the altar. You're like, no way, God. That's an indication that you need to get to the altar. So if that's you today, I don't want you to hesitate. I don't want you to wait. I want you to get to this altar now and receive what it is that God needs you to receive. You need to release what it is that God wants you to release and come and receive what it is that God wants you to receive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.